Chapter 11. The Soul and the Word. We have discussed Hermes' explanations about the deepest essence of passion, of suffering. We have seen how the impulsion of the soul lies behind the radiation of the heart, so that every human being is driven to a resurrection or a fall, and how even a fall will ultimately turn into a blessing. In verse 22, Hermes then goes on to point out that of all mortal entities, only the human being has received two gifts, the soul and the word, and that these two attributes bear the values of immortality. If the human being were to use these attributes in the right way, he would be indistinguishable from the immortals. Moreover, he would leave behind the mortal body and be led by those two gifts into the choir of the gods and blessed ones. In verse 26, Hermes speaks further of these two sublime faculties. God has said that the soul is in the body, the spirit is in the soul, the word is in the spirit, and that God is thus the father of all these things. We would like to investigate what Hermes means by all this. Let us begin by outlining once more the true nature of the soul. It has its seat in the nucleus of the microcosm. This nucleus is the great life principle. It has been kindled by the Logos and is therefore in and of God and hence immortal. So this immortal principle is present in your microcosm, and that fact should be an added incentive for you to begin using it. When we speak of the immortal principle of the human being, you should understand the term human being in the correct way. The personality that we are accustomed to labeling with the term human being is only a small part of the total human entity. The radiation of the microcosmic nucleus, which is known in our philosophy as the rose heart or the central heart, is aimed not only at the physical heart in order to break into it, but moves throughout the whole microcosmic respiration field. So the radiation of the nucleus is present not only in the heart, but all around the human being, just as the microcosm too is all around him. These radiations emanating from the central heart are astral in nature and can be compared with the pure sidereal power of the primordial substance, about which Paracelsus once wrote. Now, when the radiation of the nucleus breaks into the heart of the body, the moment will come when the soul is in the body, the spirit in the soul, and God is the Father of all of them. Hermes then goes on to say that the word is also in the soul. What he means is that as soon as the personality is ensouled, then the radiation of the nucleus will also gain access to one of the other centers of the human personality, the chakra system. And initially, it is the throat chakra in particular that is affected. This chakra is situated approximately at the level of the medulla. If you put your hand on your neck, you will be touching this chakra, which governs the entire neck area and all the organs in it. Among other things, it has a strong influence on the pharynx, the cavity at the back of the mouth. In the pharynx is situated a very powerful sense center, which is connected to all the cranial organs, including the nose, the frontal sinus, which is the abode of the golden rose, tied the throat, and the larynx. So the pharynx controls all these marvelous organs. In this context, it is significant that no one seems to escape regularly recurring problems with the pharynx, such as colds and throat infections. These things are the order of the day, our habitual illnesses, as it were. And, perhaps even more significantly, these infections are occurring more and more epidemically. The fact that virtually every human being suffers repeatedly from infections of the pharynx, one of the most important areas in the whole personality system, proves how much mankind has transgressed the holy laws of life. As a result of the radiation of the nucleus that enters via the heart and spreads throughout the body, certain thoughts develop. All sorts of feelings well up in the body. The entire nerve ether is set in motion and all the chakra meridians become extremely sensitive. In this way, a powerful concentration of astral fluid and ethers forms in the throat area. So the throat is a vibratory center in which, from second to second, the actual momentary situation is reflected and developed. On this basis, a corresponding vibration arises, which travels upwards to all those so extraordinary organs situated just beneath the crown of the head, and downwards via the blood and via the nerve ether throughout all the organs and fluids. In addition, the vibration travels from the throat to the larynx to the organs of speech. What is exists at a certain moment as a vibration field in the head sanctuary, and what is thought. And in 99 out of 100 cases, what is spoken. In other words, what is made by speech into an incontrovertible act. Through speech, it is made operative on various levels, both within your system and outside it. We have often mentioned that thoughts too are very active. Thoughts arouse and give form to astral images which, if they are constantly reanimated, will be present in the respiration field and will contain various possibilities. Through speech, thoughts are converted into living, activating processes within and outside the body, for speech is a creative organ. Speech is magical. Moreover, speech is highly magnetic. It attracts and repels and causes all kinds of occurrences and processes. So we discover what an enormous faculty human speech is. It can either be extremely beneficial in its effects or extremely harmful and poisonous. It can be a blessing or a curse, self-elevating or self-mutilating. Has it ever occurred to you that by needless chatter or injurious tittle-tattle, you harm yourself considerably? The universal doctrine says of the thought life that 5 minutes unconsidered thinking can undo the work of 5 years. You may be familiar with these inspired words. We would like to add that 1 minute s uncontrolled talking at random can undo the work of 50 years. When the radiation of the nucleus enters the heart, it simultaneously enters the pharynx via the throat chakra. In this way, the word, the power present in the living heart of the microcosm, enters and takes shape in you. Thus, in this initial phase of openness, the word is spoken in you. So in the beginning, there is always the word, and the word is of God. Do you understand now the prologue of the Gospel according to John? Are you making positive use of this word, which is of God and which becomes present and active in you by means of speech? Or are you making destructive use of it as a result of your darkness, your counter nature? That is the problem we are facing at this moment. The word is a creative force, and when the soul begins to live so that the spirit begins to flow into the pineal center, one is obliged to live in keeping with that word, or to die. If the soul is affecting you, if, in a power field, the word is spoken in you, then you are obliged to live out of it. And if you do not, the consequences will make you shudder. If the word, which is of God, is spoken within you, you can render this creative power active within you in a liberating way, by speaking, by living out of that word, that power. That is why Hermes says that speech is a faculty of immortality, and why you are repeatedly told to set a guard on your lips. Just think of how you have been injuring yourself, perhaps for years, and how you are delaying your liberation. For when you misuse a faculty of immortality within your being, you will suffer harm. To by far the majority of people can be said, you do not have your speech under control. You are incapable of speaking the living language because of your own inner chaos. Think, for instance, of the many words that cause pain, how often you inflict wounds without even thinking because of your sharp tongue. Think of the words that insult or belittle other people. Think of your expressions of temper and your great eye centrality. And think too of that so harmful language of lies, of hypocrisy, of criticism and scolding. How much wrong in this respect may you have done since you woke up this morning? Alas, When we think of all the habits of humankind, all this is only too easy to understand, but at least you should no longer be surprised that throat infections and related problems are the order of the day. These things are so common that one doesn't even think about them. But do you understand how the vibration field in your pharynx is repeatedly poisoned? It is hardly possible any longer to speak of an illness. It is a state of being from which it is no longer possible for any child of man to escape. You run to the doctor or to your medicine chest. You swallow all kinds of remedies by the liter or by the pound. But it is all a waste of time if you do not begin to live out of the word, because through speech you render all the forces present in you active, actual. The man of the masses does it, and the pupil of the spiritual school does it. And now you know how, and you understand something of the results. The occultist too makes use of speech, the human being's magical faculty, in order to render forces active. But the occultist, as an egocentric human being, knows how this faculty works and makes ample use of it. And there are countless forms of occultism, countless ways of misusing the immortal faculties granted to man. We have found that by applying all these methods, those concerned bind themselves more strongly than ever to the wheel of birth and death. So do you not find it incomprehensibly foolish when pupils of the young Gnosis also indulge in these errors? On the one hand, they want the liberating life, while on the other hand, they chatter away at random. One cannot imagine anything more stupid. Think also of the people who press themselves into the straitjacket of certain cultural habits. Habits that often involve the way one speaks. For instance, people try to make their voices sound cultured, very soft or passionate, depending on the results intended. A whole science has been made of it, particularly in modern times. What a delusion, what an insanity all this is generating. What a deceit is being perpetrated. And what a stupid deceit, for it will all come home to roost. And what a vengeance that will bring. Think also of the priests who have been trained to pronounce and sing mantras for dialectical ends. All these people are not using speech. They are not using the word as meant by Hermes, but only the voice trained for a specific purpose. And on this point, Hermes rightly observes that all other living beings, animals, have only a voice. The animal can warble like a nightingale or croak like a raven. The human voice can play the angel or the exalted being, but is the angel or the exalted being really there behind the voice? That is the question. That is why Hermes concludes by saying, "The word speech is very different from the voice." And we would like to add to this that the would-be angel and the would-be exalted person, when they forget themselves, will speak a language quite different from the one they speak when they are playing their roles. You are equipped with two magical faculties, two magical attributes, the soul and the word. Begin to live from the soul, enter immortality, and apply true Gnostic magic by means of speech.